Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
So if we're honest, every one of us is being judged. And having judges in life isn't limited to the Olympics. It's a part of everyday life, and it's not always a good thing, is it? We know that we're not supposed to judge one another, but we do it anyways. And so we need to be honest about that so that we can try to move forward from judgment at a bad thing to where being careful to consider things is a good thing. Now, as much as there are some places where judging one another is just simply not allowable, there are some times and places where judging people or looking at standards or achievements or agreed upon goals, whatever you might want to call it, is actually a reasonable thing. And that is in places where you set a standard to live by and then you're judged by that standard. Now, let me add quickly that there are some impossible, unethical, unhelpful, racist standards that are out there that we need to quickly dismantle and move on from. But there are some places where when we agree to healthy, understandable, faithful, clear standards that we can look to and apply those in our lives. And when we set that standard to live by, then we are going to be judged by that standard. And that's just a fact of how this works in our lives. Now, there's also a piece of this, which is many of these standards that we have come to us because we agree to these standards because we're in a group. And these groups have standards. And when we are part of the group, we agree by the standards. Now, there's a particular group of people that I'm thinking about when it comes to standards that is relevant for many of us, which is the group of people that is followers of Jesus. Because we have some standards to live by. And in particular, this group, followers of Jesus, they have the standard set by Jesus, which is the teachings, an example of Jesus. Another way to say this is the group is the church. And the standard that we're trying to live to is to love one another as Jesus loves. Now, this is quite the standard to be living into, of course. Now, one of the things that happens is when you agree or decide to be a follower of Jesus and make that public in particular, you agree to live by the standard that is being offered by Jesus through his teachings and his examples. Now, if you aren't a follower of Jesus, then you're exempt from having to follow the standards that Jesus sets, of course. I mean, they're still pretty good and I highly recommend them, but you don't have to. But when we're followers of Jesus, when we're Christians, when we're members of a church, we are inherently and directly agreeing to live up to the standard that's been put before us. Now, the reality is that we know that there was only one person that ever met these standards, and that was Jesus himself. And every one of us since then has been trying to just make our way to live up to these standards. And we know we're not going to hit them, but that doesn't mean we don't try. It just means that we have to show each other grace and patience, and giving people chances to learn from their mistakes, especially when it's one follower of Jesus to another, when it's a situation where there's internal kind of conversations or review of how things are going. But there's another reality in all of this, which is there are people on the outside that are looking at the actions of followers of Jesus and wondering why at times there's a disconnect between the teachings of Jesus and the actions of Christians. And so if you have noticed this disconnect and perhaps have noted that there's some hypocrisy that comes along with the church at times, then you're noticing something that's correct. And we're all trying to get better at what we live and how we live so we don't live into this problem so much. But especially if you're not a follower of Jesus and you're looking at things and you're saying to yourself like, well, there is a standard that they are not meeting, their own standard, and you're judging them by that standard, then you are actually correct in what you're doing. I hope you can be gracious and patient because, you know, every human being makes mistakes. But the reality is that standard is the one that we're supposed to meet and the one we're trying to live up to. Now, when we talk about this standard that Jesus sets for us and trying to live up to that standard, what we're talking about is putting love into life, putting love in real life. And what that means for us is that's the standard that Jesus set for us, is to love people as Jesus loves us. Now, there are some standards that Jesus has for us that have been inspiring to people and have been helpful for people to understand what this looks like. And in particular, the example and teachings of Jesus were super inspirational and inspiring to the guy named Paul. And as we talked about last week when we started this series, Paul wrote some things to his friends in Rome that helped them get an understanding of how important it was to put love into real life, and both for the people that were already a part of the church and for the people that are on the outside, knowing that they're viewing the actions of Christians as a way to judge whether or not they're actually doing what they believe. Now, we've talked a little bit about the first part of where Paul brings this to bear in the real life examples of the people in Rome. But what Paul continues to do is to go further to give us an understanding of what this looks like when you have people on the outside looking at you. Now, in particular, Paul was working in a situation where he was writing to these people that were living in first century Rome. And in first century Rome, when you were thinking about people on the outside who were looking at your behaviors, those people in the first century Roman church would have been thinking about two different groups of people. They would have had the traditional Jews and the Romans. Now, we frame it up this way because that's the groups of people that Paul was really thinking about when he was looking at the outsiders. And in particular, you might be looking at this and go, well, what does traditional Jews mean? And we have the Romans, of course. Now, when we say the traditional Jews, what we mean is that there was a group of people that believed Jesus is the Messiah Jews, and actually those were those first Christians because they weren't a separate group yet. And then there were the traditional Jews that didn't believe the Messiah had come yet. They were still waiting for him to come, and in many ways still are today. And then there's the Gentiles, everybody else. And for the people that lived in Rome, that would have been the Romans. And it's in the midst of these groups that Paul was writing these teachings and these encouragements of how to put love into real life. Now, where this becomes super irrelevant is because the people in Rome, who were these early followers of Jesus as the Messiah, were facing persecution, were facing some real challenges in their daily lives because of their beliefs. And in particular, we're not totally sure if when Paul was writing, had all this had happened yet, but we know that in those very early days, they were facing actual persecution, meaning that they were being killed for their faith or they were being abused because of their beliefs. And in particular, they were getting some flack from all kinds of people. They were getting flack from the Jews because they were upsetting the situation for them all around the Roman Empire. The Jews had an agreement with the Roman Empire to kind of leave them alone as long as they paid their taxes and kind of didn't cause any trouble. And then the Jews were upset because the early Christians were giving them a bad rap. But then also, in those very early days, the Romans were starting to pick on those early followers of Jesus too. Historically, we know that the emperor at the time was Nero, and Nero actually scapegoated those first century followers of Jesus and blamed them for all the problems they were having in Rome. He parlayed that into some of their religious examples because he thought the gods were upset. But also, we know that he was a conniving kind of emperor who was just looking to blame other people. And he picked those Jewish people that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. And so it's in that mix that Paul is writing to his friends in Rome about how to love people who are on the outside. He had a very clear set of people in mind that he was encouraging them to follow through on the teaching of Jesus. And that particular teaching of Jesus is the non-negotiable one, to love one another as I have loved you. What Paul was saying to his friends in Rome is this applies to everybody no matter what. You can't discount somebody because they're on the outside of your community. You still are called to love them. And Paul gives them these particular teachings to help them understand what that looks like, to help them get a glimpse of how they can put that into action. And here's what he teaches them, and here's what he wrote to them about. He said, you are to bless the people who persecute you, to not curse the people who persecute you. And as we just talked about, these people that Paul was referring to were actually facing these challenges. We sometimes, in our day and age, think that we are being persecuted when we're contradicted. Ralph Waldo Emerson talked about that problem. But these people were facing real persecution. Additionally, when they were talking about these things that were the idea of cursing one another, there was this very popular story of this group of Jews who had been defeated by the Romans, and as they were being defeated, or cursing them along the way, bringing like witchcraft type curses on them. And so Paul had a very specific example of what it meant to curse somebody and how that story was not what was the example that they wanted to follow. Paul didn't stop there. He reminded people that when we're loving people, we want to celebrate in the good times and weep in the hard times. One of the things that Paul was reacting to was one of these challenges that Christians have is that sometimes we don't actually celebrate good with our neighbors. We don't weep with them in the hard times. Maybe you don't have this struggle, but this is one of the things that was going on back then. That sometimes Christians would say, well, that's really a nice thing you have happening, but let me tell you about an even better thing, God's love. Or, wow, that's really beautiful, but you know what's even prettier? Is heaven. That is not the kind of thing we want to be saying to people. And similarly, we want to weep with people in the hard times, too. We don't want to go to them, well, you know, when you're going through hard times, that God's only going to give you what you can handle. Or like, oh, don't worry about your suffering now because God's going to redeem all of it in heaven. I mean, these are the kinds of things that followers of Jesus say, and really is hard for people on the outside to accept that this is at all what God would have us believe or do. And so Paul's reminding them to celebrate in the good times and to weep in the hard times. Paul also was reminding them to keep the peace, that as followers of Jesus, we want to live in harmony with our neighbors. We don't want to be the cause of disruptions. We don't want to be the ones who pick fights on things that don't need to be fought over. We want to be able to make sure that we are promoting the general welfare of the community and of our neighbors. Another thing that Paul was very importantly teaching them was to not be arrogant because of your beliefs. There was a sense in which if you were on the inside and you had these beliefs about the world and you were like, well, I know this and that makes me special, Paul was actually encouraging them to remember, no, in fact, actually it calls you to love them, not be superior, to serve them, not to expect that they will serve you. And when we do this, we actually bring people backwards. When we're arrogant because of our beliefs, well, we can put people off. Another thing that Paul was encouraging them to do also when it comes to having credibility with the people on the outside is to be friends with the lowly. To make sure that people were building relationships not just with the powerful people, not just with the rich people, but any kind of people. And that shows the expansive nature of God's love when we are friends with all kinds of people. Most people don't struggle to be friends with the powerful people or the rich people because we think that's going to help us. But it's when we show that we can be friends with the people who are the least or the last or the lost, then we can really have an impact on showing that God's teachings really have changed our lives. And the last one that Paul was driving after for them was this: don't claim to be wiser than you are. And this one's a hard one for many people, and this one is a hard one for me. Now, when we see the word wise or wiser or wisdom in the scriptures, we need to remember that it's a specific understanding of having clarity on how things should be or clarity on how things are becoming when they are becoming the thing God wants them to be. Now, when we talk about being wiser than we are, it's to claim that we know more about these things. It isn't to say that we're just smarter or have more knowledge about whatever it might be, but actually to have a sense that God has given us something that has not been given to other people. And when we do this, when we claim to be wiser than we actually are, well, that can be a sign that we're not loving people in the way that God wants us to, that we're being arrogant. Some of these things really do weave together in our understanding of what this looks like. Now, this is where Paul gets to in his teachings, and you can see that there were some really serious challenges that they were facing in their lives, with the way that outsiders were perceiving the insiders, the followers of Jesus. And Paul was teaching them these things because he knew they needed help to put love into real life, to have encouragements to live in a standard that would actually meet the expectations that Jesus had, the hopes that Jesus had for us when it comes to loving one another as Jesus calls us to love. But as we know, so often is the case, these teachings that Paul gave to his friends back in the first century are also very helpful for us in our day and age. I can't go into detail about how this parallels, you know, from then to now. But what I can say is that the reality is that people are looking at followers of Jesus and at times are wondering, why aren't we living up to the standard that Jesus set for us? But here we have some practical and insightful teaching from Paul that actually looks at the life and teachings of Jesus and gives us examples of how we can love the people in our lives that are maybe on the outside. How we can love our neighbors so that they can know what it means to be loved by someone who is loved by God. Now, when we think of loving our neighbors, there are so many different things that we can do. There are so many ways that we can relate to people in our lives. And when we think about loving the people that we most often think of as our neighbors, the people that are like our next-door neighbors, that live in a house next door or in a same neighborhood or live in the same apartment building or condo building or whatever it might be, when we think about loving these people in our lives, many of these things that Paul taught can help us love them as well. There are probably some people in your life and that aren't followers of Jesus, and these are some concrete ways that you can love them. But when we think about our neighbors and how we can love people, well, it isn't limited to the people that are our actual neighbors. Sometimes we need to think about our neighbors in a broader category of specifically the people that we work with and then the people that we might play with or the people we go to school with. And when we find ourselves in situations where we are struggling to show love to these people, well, we want to go back to this place in Paul's teaching and the examples of Jesus to help us. Because oftentimes, when it comes to our neighbors that are people that we work with, or we go to school with, or we play with, and that could be playing in the playground, that could be playing on a trip somewhere, whatever age or stage you're in, this applies to all these places. We can see that these are some encouragements that God has for us about how to show them love as well. And what it matters is because oftentimes, when we think about the people we work with or go to school with or the people that we have these encounters with, it's in these places that we come up against people or bump shoulders or elbows with people who are very different than us, who have different beliefs, who have different politics, who have different kind of expectations of ethical behavior. And when we remember that we are called to love these people too, we can bring a whole bunch of blessing into their lives. But we need to have a different approach to bringing love into these relationships. And Paul gives us a glimpse of what that looks like here. Now, when we think about all these things coming together, when we think about how do we make love become more real and real in real life, we want to be sure that we are bringing the example and teaching of Jesus as the standard to bear in as much of our lives as we can. We want to be living into the hope that we can love one another as Jesus loved us. But we have to remember that loving people is different in the different places in our lives. That we can look towards these examples and standards as a way to help us understand how we can love and apply love into our different kinds of lives and our different kind of neighbors. And when we do this, when we seek to love one another as Jesus loved us, and when we remember that we are called to love the people who are on the outside of our faith communities, then we remember more about what it means to have love in real life. God wants us to love all the people in our lives, both the neighbors that we can appreciate, the neighbors that we might struggle with, and the neighbors who might be not yet part of the faith community. There's opportunities to love all people as God loves us, to love as many people as we can, just as Jesus wants us to. This is what it means to put love into real life. Jesus said, love one another, and he wants us to live up to that standard as best we can.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.